"What, canst thou talk?" quoth she. "Hast thou a tongue? Oh, would thou hadst not, or I had no hearing. Thy mermaid's voice hath done me double wrong. I had my load before, now pressed with bearing. Melodious discord, heavenly tune, harsh sounding, ears deep sweet music, and heart's deep sore wounding. Had I no eyes but ears, my ears would love that inward beauty and invisible. Or were I deaf, thy outward parts would move each part in me that were but sensible. Though neither eyes nor ears to hear nor see, yet should I be in love by touching thee. Say that the sense of feeling were bereft me, and that I could not see nor hear nor touch, and nothing but the very smell were left me, yet would my love to thee be still as much. For from the stillitary of thy face excelling comes breath perfumed that breedeth love by smelling. But oh, what banquet wert thou to the taste, being nurse and feeder of the other four! Would they not wish the feast might ever last, and bid suspicion double lock the door, lest jealousy, that sour unwelcome guest, should by his stealing in disturb the feast? Once more the ruby-coloured portal opened, which to his speech did honey passage yield. Like a red morn that ever yet betokened rack to the seaman, tempest to the field, sorrow to shepherds, woe unto the birds, gusts and foul flaws to herdmen and to herds, this ill presage advisedly she marketh, even as the wind is hushed before it raineth, or as the wolf doth grin before he barketh, or as the berry breaks before it staineth, or like the deadly bullet of a gun, his meaning struck her ere his words begun, and at his look she flatly falleth down. For looks kill love, and love by looks reviveth. A smile recures the wounding of a frown. But blessed bankrupt that by love so thriveth, the silly boy, believing she is dead, claps her pale cheek till clapping makes it red. And all amazed break off his late intent, for sharply did he think to reprehend her, which cunning love did wittily prevent. Fair fall the wit that can so well defend her, for on the grass she lies as she was slain, till his breath breatheth life in her again. He wrings her nose, he strikes her on the cheeks, he bends her fingers, holds her pulses hard, he chafes her lips, a thousand ways he seeks to mend the hurt that his unkindness marred. He kisses her, and she by her good will never rise, so he will kiss her still. The night of sorrow now is turned to day. Her two blue windows faintly she upheaveth, like the fair sun when in his fresh array he cheers the morn and all the earth relieveth. And as the bright sun glorifies the sky, so is her face illumined with her eye, whose beams upon his hairless face are fixed, as if from thence they borrowed all their shine. Were never four such lamps together mixed, had not his clouded with his brow's repine. But hers, which through the crystal tears gave light, shone like the moon in water seen by night. Oh, where am I, quoth she, in earth or heaven, or in the ocean drenched, or in the fire? What hour is this, O morn, or weary even? Do I delight to die, or life desire? But now I lived, and life was death's annoy. But now I died, and death was lively joy. Oh, thou didst kill me once again. Thy eyes, shrewd tutor, that hard heart of thine, hath taught them scornful tricks and such disdain that they have murdered this poor heart of mine. And these mine eyes, true leaders to their queen, but for thy piteous lips no more had seen. Long may they kiss each other for this cure. Oh, never let their crimson liveries wear, and as they last, their verdure still endure, to drive infection from the dangerous year, that the stargazers, having writ on death, may say, the plague is banished by thy breath. pure lips, sweet seals in my soft lips imprinted. What bargains may I make, still to be sealing? To sell myself, I can be well contented, so thou wilt buy and pay and use good dealing. Which purchase, if thou make for fear of slips, set thy seal manual on my wax red lips. 1,000 kisses buys my heart from me, and pay them at thy leisure, one by one. What is 1,000 touches unto thee? Are they not quickly told and quickly gone? Say for non-payment that the debt should double. Is 20,000 kisses such a trouble? Fair queen, quoth he, if any love you owe me, measure my strangeness with my unripe years. Before I know myself, seek not to know me. No fisher but the ungrown fry forbears. The mellow plum doth fall, the green sticks fast, or being early plucked is sour to taste. Look, the world's comforter, with weary gait, his day's hot task hath ended in the west. The owl, night's herald, shrieks, 'tis very late, the sheep are gone to fold, birds to their nest. And coal-black clouds that shadow heaven's light do summon us to part and bid good night. Now let me say good night, and so say you. If you will say so, you shall have a kiss. Good night, quoth she, and ere he says adieu, the honey fee of parting tendered is. Her arms do lend his neck a sweet embrace. Incorporate then they seem, face grows to face, till breathless he disjoined, and backward drew the heavenly moisture, that sweet coral mouth whose precious taste her thirsty lips well knew, whereon they surfeit, yet complain on drouth. He, with her plenty pressed, she faint with dearth, their lips together glued, fall to the earth. Now quick desire hath caught the yielding prey, and glutton like she feeds, yet never filleth. Her lips are conquerors, his lips obey, paying what ransom the insulter willeth, whose vulture thought doth pitch the price so high that she will draw his lips' rich treasure dry. And having felt the sweetness of the spoil, with blindfold fury she begins to forage. Her face doth reek and smoke, her blood doth boil, and careless lust stirs up a desperate courage, planting oblivion, beating reason back, forgetting shame's pure blush and honor's rack. Hot, faint, and weary with her hard embracing, like a wild bird being tamed with too much handling, or as the fleet-foot roe that's tired with chasing, or like the froward infant stilled with dandling. He now obeys, and now no more resisteth, while she takes all she can, not all she listeth. What wax so frozen, but dissolves with tempering, and yields at last to very light impression? Things out of hope are compassed oft with venturing, chiefly in love, whose leave exceeds commission. Affection faints not like a pale-faced coward, but then woos best when most his choice is froward. When he did frown, oh, had she then gave over, such nectar from his lips she had not sucked. Foul words and frowns must not repel a lover, what though the rose have prickles, yet 'tis plucked. Were beauty under 20 locks kept fast, yet love breaks through and picks them all at last. For pity now, she can no more detain him. The poor fool prays her that he may depart. She is resolved no longer to restrain him, bids him farewell, and look well to her heart, the which by Cupid's bow she doth protest, he carries thence, encaged in his breast. Sweet boy, she says, this night I'll waste in sorrow, for my sick heart commands mine eyes to watch. Tell me, love's master, shall we meet tomorrow? Say, shall we? Shall we? Wilt thou make the match? He tells her no. Tomorrow he intends to hunt the boar with certain of his friends. The boar, quoth she, whereat a sudden pale, like lawn being spread upon the blushing rose, usurps her cheek. She trembles at his tail, and on his neck her yoking arms she throws. She sinketh down, still hanging by his neck. He on her belly falls, she on her back. Now is she in the very lists of love, her champion mounted for the hot encounter. All is imaginary, she doth prove. He will not manage her, although he mount her. That worse than Tantalus is her annoy, to clip Elysium and to lack her joy. Even so, poor birds deceived with painted grapes do surfeit by the eye and pine the more. Even so she languisheth in her mishaps, as those poor birds that helpless berries saw. The warm effects which she in him finds missing, she seeks to kindle with continual kissing, but all in vain. Good queen, it will not be. She hath assayed as much as may be proved. Her pleading hath deserved a greater fee. She's love, she loves, and yet she is not loved. Fie, fie, he says, you crush me, let me go. You have no reason to withhold me so. Thou hadst been gone, quoth she, sweet boy, ere this, but that thou told'st me thou wouldst hunt the boar. Oh, be advised, thou know'st not what it is with javelin's point a churlish swine to gore, whose tushes never sheathed he whetteth still, like to a mortal butcher bent to kill. On his bow back he hath a battle set of bristly pikes that ever threat his foes. His eyes like glowworms shine when he doth threat. His snout digs sepulchres where'er he goes. Being moved, he strikes whate'er is in his way, and whom he strikes, his crooked tushes slay. His brawny sides with hairy bristles armed are better proof than thy spear's point can enter. His short, thick neck cannot be easily harmed. Being ireful, on the lion he will venture. The thorny brambles and embracing bushes as fearful of him part through whom he rushes. Alas, he naught esteems that face of thine to which love's eyes pays tributary gazes, nor thy soft hands, sweet lips, and crystal eyne, whose full perfection all the world amazes. But having thee advantage, wondrous dread would root these beauties as he roots the mead. Oh, let him keep his loathsome cabin still. Beauty hath naught to do with such foul fiends. Come not within his danger by thy will. They that thrive well take counsel of their friends. When thou didst name the boar, not to dissemble, I feared thy fortune, and my joints did tremble. Didst thou not mark my face? Was it not white? Saw'st thou not signs of fear lurk in mine eye? Grew I not faint, and fell I not downright? Within my bosom, whereon thou dost lie, my boding heart pants, beats, and takes no rest, but like an earthquake shakes thee on my breast. For where love reigns, disturbing jealousy doth call himself affection's sentinel, gives false alarms, suggesteth mutiny, and in a peaceful hour doth cry, kill, kill, distempering gentle love in his desire, as air and water do abate the fire. This sour informer, this bait-breeding spy, this canker that eats up love's tender spring, this carry-tale dissentious jealousy, that sometime true news, sometime false doth bring, knocks at my heart and whispers in mine ear, that if I love thee, I thy death should fear. And more than so, presenteth to mine eye the picture of an angry chafing boar, under whose sharp fangs on his back doth lie an image like thyself, all stained with gore, whose blood upon the fresh flowers being shed doth make them droop with grief and hang the head. What should I do, seeing thee so indeed, that tremble at the imagination? The thought of it doth make my faint heart bleed, and fear doth teach it divination. I prophesy thy death, my living sorrow, if thou encounter with the boar tomorrow. But if thou needs wilt hunt, be ruled by me. Uncouple at the timorous flying hare, or at the fox which lives by subtlety, or at the roe which no encounter dare. Pursue these fearful creatures o'er the downs, and on thy well-breathed horse keep with thy hounds. And when thou hast on foot the purblind hare, Mark the poor wretch, to overshoot his troubles, how he outruns the wind, and with what care he cranks and crosses with a thousand doubles. The many musets through the which he goes are like a labyrinth to amaze his foes. Sometimes he runs among a flock of sheep to make the cunning hounds mistake their smell, and sometime where earth-delving conies keep to stop the loud pursuers in their yell, and sometime sorteth with a herd of deer. Danger deviseth shifts, wit waits on fear, for there his smell with others being mingled, the hot scent snuffing hounds are driven to doubt, ceasing their clamorous cry till they have singled with much ado the cold fault cleanly out. Then they do spend their mouths. Echo replies as if another chase were in the skies. By this poor Wat, far off upon a hill, stands on his hinder legs with listening ear to hearken if his foes pursue him still. Anon the loud alarums he doth hear, and now his grief may be compared well to one sore sick that hears the passing bell. Then shalt thou see the dew-bedabbled wretch turn and return, indenting with the way each envious briar his weary legs do scratch. Each shadow makes him stop, each murmur stay. For misery is trodden on by many, and being low, never relieved by any. Lie quietly, and hear a little more. Nay, do not struggle, for thou shalt not rise. To make thee hate the hunting of the boar, unlike myself thou hearst me moralize, applying this to that, and so to so, for love can comment upon every woe. Where did I leave? No matter where, quoth he. Leave me, and then the story aptly ends. The night is spent. Why, what of that? Quoth she. I am, quoth he, expected of my friends, and now 'tis dark, and going I shall fall. In night, quoth she, desire sees best of all. But if thou fall, oh then, imagine this. The earth in love with thee thy footing drips, and all is but to rob thee of a kiss. Rich praise make true men thieves, so do thy lips make modest Dian cloudy and forlorn, lest she should steal a kiss and die forsworn. Now of this dark night I perceive the reason. Cynthia, for shame, obscures her silver shine, till forging nature be condemned of treason for stealing moles from heaven that were divine, wherein she framed thee, in high heaven's despite, to shame the sun by day and her by night. And therefore hath she bribed the destinies to cross the curious workmanship of nature, to mingle beauty with infirmities and pure perfection with impure defeature, making it subject to the tyranny of mad mischances and much misery, as burning fevers, agues pale and faint, life-poisoning pestilence and frenzies would, the marrow-eating sickness whose attaint disorder breeds by heating of the blood, surfeits, impostumes, grief and damned despair swear nature's death for framing thee so fair. And not the least of all these maladies, but in 1 minute's fight brings beauty under, both favour, savour, hue and qualities, whereat the impartial gazer late did wonder, are on the sudden wasted, thawed and done, as mountain snow melts with the midday sun. Therefore, despite of fruitless chastity, love-lacking vestals, and self-loving nuns that on the earth would breed a scarcity and barren dearth of daughters and of sons, be prodigal. The lamp that burns by night dries up his oil to lend the world his light. What is thy body but a swallowing grave, seeming to bury that posterity which by the rites of time thou needst must have, if thou destroy them not in dark obscurity? If so, the world will hold thee in disdain, sith in thy pride so fair a hope is slain. So in thyself, thyself art made away, a mischief worse than civil home-bred strife, or theirs whose desperate hands themselves do slay, or butcher sire that reaves his son of life. Foul cankering rust the hidden treasure frets, but gold that's put to use more gold begets. Nay then, quoth Adon, you will fall again into your idle, overhandled theme. The kiss I gave you is bestowed in vain, and all in vain you strive against the stream. For by this black-faced knight, desire's foul nurse, your treatise makes me like you worse and worse. If love have lent you 20,000 tongues, and every tongue more moving than your own, bewitching like the wanton mermaid songs, yet from my heart the tempting tune is blown. For no, my heart stands armed in mine ear, and will not let a false sound enter there, lest the deceiving harmony should run into the quiet closure of my breast. And then my little heart were quite undone in his bedchamber to be barred of rest. No, lady, no. My heart longs not to groan, but soundly sleeps, while now it sleeps alone. What have you urged that I cannot reprove? The path is smooth that leadeth on to danger. I hate not love, but your device in love that lends embracements unto every stranger. You do it for increase. Oh, strange excuse, when reason is the bawd to lust's abuse. Call it not love, for love to heaven is fled, since sweating lust on earth usurped his name, under whose simple semblance he hath fed upon fresh beauty, blotting it with blame, which the hot tyrant stains and soon bereaves, as caterpillars do the tender leaves. Love comforteth like sunshine after rain, but lust's effect is tempest after sun. Love's gentle spring doth always fresh remain. Lust's winter comes ere summer half be done. Love surfeits not. Lust, like a glutton, dies. Love is all truth. Lust, full of forged lies. More I could tell, but more I dare not say. The text is old, the orator too green. Therefore in sadness now I will away. My face is full of shame, my heart of teen. Mine ears, that to your wanton talk attended, do burn themselves for having so offended. With this he breaketh from the sweet embrace of those fair arms which bound him to her breast, and homeward through the dark lawn runs apace. Leaves love upon her back, deeply distressed. Look how a bright star shooteth from the sky. So glides he in the night from Venus' eye, which after him she darts, as one on shore gazing upon a late embarked friend, till the wild waves will have him seen no more, whose ridges with the meeting clouds contend. So did the merciless and pitchy night fold in the object that did feed her sight. Whereat amazed, as one that unaware hath dropped a precious jewel in the flood, astonished as night wanderers often are, their light blown out in some mistrustful wood, even so confounded in the dark she lay, having lost the fair discovery of her way.